Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be talking about Groovy by Richard Saucedo. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Okay, Groovy is a recent addition to the Texas PML.
Grade 2.
A grade 2.
Yep.
It's concert B-flat, 4-4 throughout. It does have split clarinet, split saxophone, split trumpet parts. The low brass, like the trombone, euphonium, tuba part, is not all unison all the way through. Lots of percussion. And as the title indicates, the percussion, I think, is really important to set up that whole groovy feel
yes.
of the piece. But you need minimum 4 to 5 percussionists to make this piece effective.
So it even says at the beginning of the piece, by the way, this piece came out in 2010, so quite a while ago. And have played it? Yes.
Absolutely. I have played it with my own band, and I've done it with region bands before.
Yes.
Like, I think
so
it's
like
such
it's
a
been
good
out
piece.
For
yeah.
a long time, but it was just recently added to the PML. So this would be a good one to possibly go back and look at if it's been a while since you have programmed it. So it says relaxed and groovy at the beginning. The tempo is 160. I think one of the major things to remember when playing this piece is to start it way slower and work your way up, because the style and articulation is so critical. The accents are so critical in this piece and the staccatos that if you start it too fast, you can't go back and fix all of those little details later on.
And there are going to be several opportunities where your students will fall into traps
yes.
if you do not prep them for it.
Yes. So it starts out with just percussion for 4 measures with a xylophone setting up the groove at the beginning of the piece with a little tambourine behind it. And then at measure 5, the bells come in and have the same thing as flute and clarinet. The clarinets are split, as Laura said. In this part, clarinet 1 is above the break, but only C and B. So it's not like super high.
Real quick on the percussion.
Yep.
These xylophone mallets, like, it doesn't address the type of mallets to use here. You know, find what you like, what's going to, you know, be your own personal preference. But for me, I like a rubber mallet, and it can be a slightly harder rubber mallet for this. But I think when you start to get into plastic or, God forbid, acrylic, something really shrill like that, ostinato will become super abrasive.
Yeah.
And it will be difficult if they're playing with a really hard mallet. They're going to have to keep their stick height really low, and that requires a lot of control at this faster tempo. So you can make it a little bit easier on your xylo player by playing with a harder rubber mallet. Still make sure that it's articulate enough, but it will make the technique easier for them.
Okay, going back to the clarinet part at 5, they have the melody along with the clarinet 1, flute, and bells. It's a very, like, legato, smooth opening. Everything is tenuto marked. And then at measure 8, we have our first little moment of style. So it goes 1 and 4, 1. And you're supposed to make that be very, very syncopated. And that's the first little, you know, glimpse into the groove part of the piece.
It comes back several times.
Oh, yeah. And then it keeps going. It's long for 3 measures, the little syncopation for a measure. At 13, that part keeps going, but it's not the focal point anymore. So now you would mark in your parts or tell your kids to come down a level. Mm-hmm. Now the new part is horn and sax, and the lows finally come in. And we're just kind of layering. Horn and sax play a new part. And again, it's very smooth and connected, got tenuto markings. And then we're kind of building and building all the way to measure 21. At 17, the trombone and euphonium join everybody, and their function is just to kind of help build up the suspension, and they're getting stronger and stronger. And then they have the accented portion with the highs at measure 20 as we lead into 21.
Now, when you make it to 21, like, it's this really cool effect. It started soft and we've built up. It's still even just ensemble volume mezzo forte. Then you get to 21, there's a little push right before 21, and you expect it to go somewhere, and the bottom kind of falls out of it. Yeah. And it goes back, the winds drop out completely and it's back to percussion. And they're like tapering, the volume down just a little bit before you start this new idea that comes in at measure 25. At 25, we come in with the melody the first time that you hear it. Now, this melody happens several times throughout the piece. Almost every instrument will have an opportunity to play this really syncopated melody. Low brass don't have it. They have a reference to it, but low brass don't have it.
I don't think horn and alto do either.
I think you're right, but most everybody has this. So this is an opportunity. This melody that you see at measure 25: 1 and 3, 4 and 2 and 3, 4. 1 and 3, 4 and 2 and 3, 4. This repeats over and over. This would be a great opportunity to write that up in a melody sheet. Mm-hmm. Teach it to the whole entire ensemble. Mm-hmm. It's great for your low brass players and horns and altos to move their fingers and learn this articulation right. and style right along with everyone else. It will keep everyone engaged and it will allow you to be intentional and diligent in drilling this.
Yes. So Laura just mentioned the style is of utmost importance here. Your young players are going to be tempted to slur into beat three. So it's tongue, slur, tongue, tongue, slur, tongue, slur, tongue. Tongue, and each time that they tongue, it's marked staccato. So really driving that home is super important for clarity. It is only the clarinets playing here, mm-hmm. and it's not above the break, so they can sound fabulous all together, and it's got to be 100% perfect.
It does. And this is like, Katie mentioned really early on in the piece about starting the tempo slower so that you can be really picky about this stuff. Now, I think that is super important. I do things maybe a little differently than other people do. While I would play this melody with my whole entire band and I would play it super slow, it depends on the caliber of ensemble, maybe even at half speed at 80 or 90. But I would play it. I wouldn't get overly caught up in the note length of the staccato note, but I would absolutely be diligent about making sure the tongue was right. Ta, 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 ta. Stop. Do it again.
Yep.
Get that right. And then as you start to speed the tempo up, add in that staccato. Mm-hmm. If they're really stressed about playing staccato at 80 or 90 BPM, you're going to lose all sense of tone quality by the time you get to 160.
Yeah.
So just bear that in mind. But I would be like, I would spend the time on this.
Yeah.
It's so important.
31 and 32, it changes slightly. Mm-hmm. So you have a staccato beat two. Ta, 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 ta. And the last note is an accent. And really making sure that that lines up 100% is perfect. And they should not breathe between 32 and 33.
That's right.
They keep going with the melody, but you have to make sure that you draw an arrow, no breath. They need to find other spots. As Laura mentioned, there's two staccato quarter notes. That's perfect. Some of them can breathe after one. Some of them can breathe after the other. And then I was completely inaccurate. This is where the altos take over the melody.
Yes.
So they do have the melody. So alto and tenor sax join the clarinets on the melody part. But they are marked mezzo forte because you want to now feature that timbre and color. And then tell the clarinets to just take a tiny chill pill. Also, the low people, trombone euphonium, barry sax, bassoon, they come in at 33 with this cool little like half note chromatic figure, and it's really cool sounding, but they don't need to play it super loud, but they do need to play it super in tune. And it's got G flats and E flats, so you just have to make sure you kind of spend some time on that. And then the flutes and oboes have this cool little like mysterious little part. Little just like grace notes. They're not very loud, but make sure that their part goes all the way to the rest. They don't die away. Bells have it as well. This continues on for quite a while. Trombones go up the chromatic scale and then back down the chromatic scale. So just making sure that your kids can play perfect on that part is really important so that it sounds quarterly really nice. And then everybody's going to push through all the way to 41. And then we have a new little section.
So when we get to 41, this ostinato that has been going on in the xylophone the whole time, one and two, three and four, one, two, and four, this now we add the flute and the oboe to that ostinato. So it is still happening in the mallet percussion, but now it goes to bells. So you want to be careful about making sure that it doesn't get too shrill between bells, flute, and oboe. Mm-hmm. It is just an ostinato. You should really feel
and
it more
just
than hear
mezzo
it.
Mezzo piano. The whole That's band right. has gone quiet again.
That's right. Yeah. This is way soft here. And even though that's the most rhythmic thing that's going on, we have added in all of the low brass
and they're
and
playing
the altos.
What the clarinets did
that's
before,
right.
the tenuto stylistic.
Just that chordal harmonic function. They're just laying down these whole notes and half notes, exactly what the clarinets did and the flutes at the
beginning
very
of the
beginning of the piece.
Yep. They keep going on this, but the style, again, is very important. Notating the difference between a tenuto and an accent for the low people, making sure that that ostinato is playing the staccatos and the accents different from each other, playing the notes that are not accented softer and lighter will help the accents be stronger. One thing I think that flute players sometimes will do, and oboe, is they'll see the accent and go, I gotta play louder. And then they crack and it doesn't sound right. Instead, play that note a little stronger, but not a lot stronger, and play the other note softer.
That's right.
And that makes the accent just kind of happen easier without making cracks occur.
So if you're looking at a score with us, one of the things you're going to notice is that there's not these articulation markings in the mallet part. But now when the flute and oboe come in, we have staccatos and accents. Di-di-da, di-di-da, da, di-da, di-da. But it is up to you. Like, if you listen to the reference recording of this, I feel like they play the accented quarter notes like staccato quarter notes. But it matches what's happening in the mallet percussion. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you. If it were me personally, I think the quarter notes are too short. Like, when you hear the reference recording, I would give them a little more body of sound and do what Katie talked about. Mm-hmm. Make the staccato eighth note softer, give a little more emphasis to those quarter notes. You can even mark that in on the mallet part. Just a slight accent on the quarter notes would help the mallets support what's happening in those upper woodwinds as well.
Yep. At 49, that ostinato part is now going to level down and be softer because the clarinets come back with their melody. Mm-hmm. And so we want to hear that again. The lows continue the same thing they were just playing. So they need to come down in volume a little bit too. This time, instead of the clarinets being alone, the whole band is playing.
Except trumpets.
Mm-hmm. So you really have to tell everybody to back off so that we can hear the clarinet section so they don't have to force to be heard. And then we crescendo up again going into 57, and then we have an attack on beat one of 57. So it's different from before where it was like loud and then drop out. We do have a downbeat, but this is another percussion break for three measures, and the snare part is more active here. It's very important to add in all the accents. Mm-hmm. And then this is kind of like the starting to be like close to the jam out session. So then you have the winds come back in at measure 60, and mallet percussion has this really cool part that nobody else has that's like more wiggly and movey with notes, and everybody else has accents on
one and four.
And then we're still going with the low with the percussion. Timpani now get to have the cool, like what I consider to be the wiggly part, like the mallets. And so they get the melody, which is fun because timpani like rarely ever gets the melody. And then the band comes in again three measures later. One and four, one. And then the part at 65 literally says rock out. Which is super fun.
It is really, I think it's adorable. And this is where, like, the trumpets really have been very chill up to this point.
Right.
Just occasionally coming in, adding a little interjection, but their part, like, so this
it's
is...
It's not very difficult.
It's not. This is a piece, if you have a young trumpet section, it
or
might be...
Or not a lot of trumpets.
That's right. It might be something for you to consider.
Yep.
So here at 65, this is the trumpet moment.
Yeah.
All right, so trumpet, altos, and clarinets have the rock on part one, two and three, four and one, two and four.
And the lows just have little interjections.
That's right. But the trumpets need to be the ones leading the charge here. Yes. So this is the new color, right? We've heard clarinet and alto, but this is, they can open up a little more.
Yeah.
Now the way this is written, it's written tongue, slur, tongue every time. That your kids will cheat. You will have cheaters.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let them do it. Mm-hmm. Don't let them get away with it.
Agreed. And then the whole band comes down at 71 to mezzo forte. So we've had this rock out moment. Mm-hmm. And then we're like trying to build it up again. And it's
Katie's favorite, a high woodwind trill. Like, she loves those. She loves those. I would even, if I were you, man, throw it in the bells. Just, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That was for Katie.
Oh, sorry. That's really funny. Okay. I hate nothing more than a bell trill, actually. I mean, other than a high D flute trill. You know, you got like eight flute players. That's awful. Like, come on. Okay. So, you know, if you've ever listened to any episode, like maybe one part should be playing the upper D trill. Yeah. The oboe is also trilling, so that's super fun. And that's not the important part. They're just getting us excited about the next part. The saxophone has a really cool, like, nod back to the chromatic feature that the trombone and euphonium had before, but now they're doing it in quarter notes. The trumpet and the clarinet are continuing on with the rock out part. The bells also have the chromatic-y thing with the altos. Lows are just doing an ostinato. Boom, 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 boom. So we're just getting everybody excited. 73, trumpet and alto and clarinet keep going with the rock out. And now flute and oboe, for the first time, get to have the regular melody. One and three, four and two and three, four. So now it's like everybody's got their own cool little moment. Low brass are pretty not important here, and nothing is difficult.
They're supplying harmonic foundation is all they're doing. Now, everything they have is accented, but there's a lot of white notes, a lot of dotted half notes in this. So get them out of the way. Yes. Treat them like forte pianos. Get out of the way.
Yep. And then, so we're rocking out, we're continuing this, we're layered. Then we've got a crescendo from 79 to 83. The whole band is kind of getting more and more. And by the way, this time on the melody, the flute part is written to be a divided part, a divisi part, where you could have one or two players play it up an octave to be heard a little bit over the like trumpet and alto part. But if you don't have someone who can play it in tune, you don't have to have them play it up you can still hear it. But what I would probably do is maybe put two eighth graders or something on the top part
for sure.
And then put everybody else on the lower part. So it doesn't become too screechy. And then, we've got lots of like crash cymbal stuff is coming in here. We're getting more and more excited and we're leading up with lots of accents, to measure 83. And this is marked triple F, so we want to make sure kids, like, maybe I would like delete
maybe take one out of one them, of those
so they don't get too excited.
school kids don't ever need to play triple.
No. And then we have a hit again, and then we do the decrescendo in the percussion. It's just like before. We have a recap at 87 of that same
just
melody,
like at the
from
beginning.
The beginning of the piece. The altos and the horns have their little moment again. We're building it back up to 103. And at 103, trombone and euphonium, we start this like little
reverse waterfall effect.
Yes.
Like instead of starting in the highs and going to, it starts in the lows and works its way up.
Yep. So the lows get it first, then the horn, alto, clarinet, then the trumpets finally. There's a big old long trill going on this whole time. I would do one person on the trill, please, goodness. And now we've added in clarinets on top space E. Like, don't want to hear it. So, you know, just don't do too many kids there, please. And then we crescendo up. And at 107, we have everybody, basically, all the high people on that ostinato. One and two, three and four, one, two and four. That's not the melody. So make sure they just play it confidently underneath. The melody
and listen,
is now,
that's happening in flute, oboe, clarinet,
trumpet,
alto, trumpet,
horn.
And horn. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, more than
it's marked fortissimo, too. So take your pencil and mark their parts ahead of time.
Yeah, get them,
change
get
it to
out
mezzo
of the way.
Forte.
That's right.
It needs to be the lows here. They have one, three, one, and four, one, three. So they're building us up. up. They're getting excited. We have a forte piano at the end of 110. So everybody is getting out of the way. The mallet percussion has a cool moment again alone. Little active snare part. And we're building up at 113. Now we've got everybody's back in, percussion's rocking out, going all crazy with like arpeggios, timpani's playing some cool stuff like the Lowe's did before.
Now, as you're doing, I'm sorry to interrupt, Katie. You're doing this crescendo from 111, 112, landing into 113, you have some people that have half note parts on this. I would go in, like I would physically write in dynamic changes on each of those. I would build in the crescendo dynamically because when you have so many people that are playing an eight count, like a double whole note that is supposed to be forte piano crescendo,
right?
Like they have no concept of how to make that last for eight beats. So I would write in those dynamic changes every two beats.
Right.
To
be or more, if you do like a number system, you can write like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Great feedback for sure. And then at 113, the horns get this cool little moment along with sax and clarinet 2-3.
Which needs to be featured.
Bring it out. It's like just a cool little like moment for them. Then everybody has the same rhythm, literally the same rhythm except percussion. So make sure the style is lined up there. This would be a great two-measure thing to do in your daily drill, 115 and 116, because the whole band has it. 1, 2, and 4, and 2, and 3. This is the last two measures. So doing that like on a Remington. Like, then you can get the whole band getting the style lined up, the rhythm lined up. They can feel very confident about the counting. I haven't ever heard this piece, obviously, at a contest because it was just added to the PML this year for us. And I do remember, though, that at the beginning of the year, when we played this with my band a long, long time ago, we had a couple kids who had trouble with the last measure because it's not on beat one.
Yeah. It's different.
And it's a tagline at the end. So just trying to build that in is a great idea. So this piece is super fun and kid friendly.
It is. And listen, I mean, it is, the kids will love it. It is, Katie and I even talked about it. The melody is like a little earworm. Yeah. It just gets stuck in your head. So you'll have kids like singing it around your band hall, which I mean, you know, we love that. We want them to be excited about the music they're playing.
And this is a great piece that you could program like with, you know, a varsity band at the beginning of the year for a fall concert. You could use it as an all-region clinician with an all-region band, as Laura mentioned. You could do it as a UIL piece with a varsity band or a non-varsity band. Mm-hmm. You could use it as a spring concert piece with a non-varsity band to give them something a little bit beefier at the end of the year leading into the next year. So it's very, very versatile. And as we mentioned, well-written where there's not just a ton of stuff that you have to kind of be aware of.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, we hope you will consider programming Groovy in the future, and thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.